Our world is magical. Games are magical. Open your eyes and prepare to discover how magic and games intersect.
Merry meet and welcome to Covenstead, a podcast about gaming and magic.
Yeah, this would be an interesting thing to talk about that I haven't really thought too much about. What do you think made D&D such a stigma? Like, when it came around, what do you think caused a lot of people to be like, you know, what is this thing? You know, like, what is it doing to our children? You know, that sort of thing. What do you think it was?
I think, and interesting enough, I think it was the overlaps that it had with paganism, or more specifically, ooh, that there were, you know, like there were mentions of demons and there were mentions of devils and summoning rituals, things that people thought were paganism, you know, as a more broad general term. I think the non-Christianity of it, you know, mm-hmm, even though, you know, there's still at the same time too, a lot of heavy Christianic leanings on it and stuff like this. I mean, like you just look at the paladin, yeah, class of just like, wow, that's a crusader who, yeah, unapologetically wipes the floor with anyone, not themselves. Mm-hmm. I think that non-Christianity elements of the evil in the game are what got that unfortunate ball rolling. I really do, you know, because there, you know, it was the mere fact of demons and devils and you could summon them, even though that was not the object of the game. You're playing people trying to stop people from summoning, right, demons and devils, but just that whole, you know, like that correlation, that unnecessary correlation, mm-hmm, that people just linked to it. Because, yeah, like, what the hell is this? Like, how can it be a game? It's just books. It's just, right, books. How is that a game? That's what, right, I think. What do you think? For you, you know, what was it that placed that kind of stigma?
Well, absolutely. You know, like, I think it was that. That was a big part of it, you know? Because if you look at the books, the original D&D books, I mean, the images in it, you know, of, like, the creatures you fight and, like, all of that sort of stuff. You know, they definitely had that non-Christian whatever. And if you don't take the time to figure out what it was all about, you just make these assumptions and people make these assumptions, which actually goes very nicely into how witches are stigmatized, because there you have it, you know, yeah, like, and as far as witches goes, I mean, stigmatized because of Christianity, honestly, you know, yeah. I mean, hundreds and thousands of years ago, you know, where when Christianity was spreading and they tried to stamp it out, you know, and tries to stamp out paganism and all of this stuff. It stems from that. And it's just weird and kind of disgusting how bigotry and ignorance don't really go away. They just morph. And that's what kind of happened. Yeah. The bigotry for paganism back when Christianity started and there were crusades and there were, you know, mass genocides of just killing at these people or converting them or whatever, who had these old beliefs. It just morphed into other things as we got into more modern times, you know, it just morphed into other kinds of stigmatism, you know, other kinds of bigotry that was appropriate for the time that it was occurring in. But it was just this holdover, you know, from all of that. And Wicca as it's practiced today, you know, only started in like the 60s. Yeah. You know, it's not old, but it's based off of all of these things that came before it, you know, Greek mystery traditions, European folk traditions, all these other things that we had in history before Christianity morphed into wanting to bring those back. And pagans and the, you know, people in the 60s found this stuff, found it fascinating and kind of brought it back. And then it, you know, it took hold and everything. So while Wicca itself is new in terms of the time frame. It's based off of old ancient stuff that we at one point believed, and it's tricky because we can't know exactly what that looked like. We can make our best guesses,
yeah.
And we do try, you know, to figure out what might have happened back then and what types of things, and you know, Wicca looks very different today than it did in the 60s when it started. You know, but it's all holdover from that. It's all holdover from trying to stamp out anything that wasn't Christianity. And that's all what it stems from. And it didn't go away. It didn't go away. As a matter of fact, when I was 16 and just getting into Wicca at the time, 15, 16 years old, I told my dad about, you know, that I was studying witchcraft. And my dad, now keep in mind, I was 16, so we're talking like 1995, 1996, yeah. Somewhere in there. So not, you know, I mean, not way back in the past. And I remember being in the car, we were going somewhere. We were in the car, I said something like that. My dad turned to me and said, well, you know, they eat babies, right? And this is in 1996.
Yeah.
Like, it's pervasive. It is pervasive. And then it just becomes lazy because then people don't bother to find out if their presuppositions are correct. And yeah. That happened with D&D too. Nobody bothered to figure out what they just made these presuppositions. Oh, yep. It's evil. It's weird. Moving on. And then what's happening now is because it's gotten more mainstream and they had a highlight on it, it forced people to realize that maybe their presuppositions were wrong.
Yeah.
That they just didn't give it a chance. They didn't give it a chance to. They categorized it in a box somewhere in their head as nerd or evil or whatever box they tended to put it in and didn't think about it again.
Yeah.
And then when it started coming up in mainstream, people started talking about it. It made their presuppositions, that made them have to face the presuppositions. And then they were like, oh, hey, wait a minute. I never thought about it before. You know, and that's what happened. I think that it wasn't necessarily like people stigmatized because they had done it and felt it was evil. It was stigmatized because it was stigmatized by people who wanted to stigmatize it for a lot of different reasons. A lot of them, like you said, having to do with, you know, Christianity. And some of, I think a part of it too, was like describing it and being imaginative in your head. And all of the stuff that was involved with D&D seemed a little weird to people because for some reason we have this society where, you know, at a certain point, you got to put away kid things, you know, you gotta get going and you got to work and you got to, and if you're doing that as a kid, you're not working towards becoming a good worker. You're not working towards becoming a cog in the machine. You're growing your imagination. You're growing your individuality. And yeah. I think some of it had to do with that too, which is also a part of how Christianity wanted to do it too, followers and stuff. And it's all just woven together in this big, huge mass of bigoted intersectionality yeah. Between wanting cogs in the machine for workers, wanting followers for literature to control people, honestly. And so anything that didn't do that had to be outed. And Wicca and D&D had all the aspects of that. So therefore they're stigmatized, they're wrong. And those people managed to get everyone else who probably wouldn't have been bothered otherwise. It's not part of their life. So that's what they put it in. And then, you know, oh, so whenever I mentioned, oh yeah, I heard that's devil stuff, you know, or I heard, yeah. You know, whatever. And then it just perpetuates.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when it starts coming to the mainstream, it kind of forced people to have to, you know, not, oh, I put that in a box there. Maybe it's not what I thought, you know, because humans fill in the blanks, you know what yeah. I mean? So when they hear stuff about D&D or Wicca and they don't know about it and who's ever talking about it doesn't really know a lot about it. They have to fill in the blanks themselves of what it is, right? You know, they have to fill in what they think it is, how they think the people who do it act. And so, and if they don't know a lot, well, they're not going to have a very accurate picture. So when they started to get an accurate picture of what it actually is, it, you know, starts them thinking. And so, and then once they started, more and more people started seeing it, then you can't really say, oh, this stuff is, you know, devil stuff anymore, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at the same time too, I don't want to give the impression either, just thinking about it, that, you know, D&D was trying to do the noble thing and, you know, that the creators themselves were pagans and were trying to have their beliefs reflected. Oh, they totally played, they played up on the stereotypes.
Yeah.
And in a sense, they got caught up in the crossfire.
Yeah.
Because I think that the intention was that this would be, you know, that it would appear to be pro-Christian because you're fighting against them. But at the same time too, then they provided the options that if you wanted to play evil characters, you know, it was kind of like,
yeah,
there were some of the accusations being made by those, you know, and anyone who's never heard of this before, there is a very infamous piece on 60 Minutes from back in the 80s that is what perpetuated this.
I remember that. Yeah. Oh,
look, man. For a Satanic Panic 60 Minutes and you will find away.
Yeah.
And then you can just watch and see for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was one of those things. It's not like people were really pulling things, you know, out of nowhere, but at the same time too, they were only picking the particular elements that basically pushed their narrative forward.
They weren't in context for what things actually were at all.
Right.
And yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Now I know that did shape how the game did progress, because by the second edition, because that's when I got into that game, they had gone from changing demons and devils, and they gave them more formalized names of the Beatu and the Tenari.
Yeah.
So they were a bit more of kind of like an alien race kind of thing. You know, so it's like, oh no, they come from another dimension, but they're not demons and devils. You know, like that's just their nickname. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then they also started creating these other monsters that were, you know, and I think too, also at this point, the video game industry really started to swell up, the whole idea of people fighting monsters, which a lot of it seemed to come from D&D. It's these weird kind of overlaps, but eventually I think they branded that stigma out of their game and tried to make it look like something else.
Right.
And I think in that sense that they were successful, because even with all of that, you know, with all the burning crosses and everything that were going on at that time, there was a Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, it was on CBS.
Like, I know. I have the DVDs.
I know.
The whole DVD set and in it. The extra of it is there's character sheets for all the characters.
Yes.
That were in the cartoon. If you get the, like the special, which of course I did, if you get the big ultimate, you know, D&D cartoon, I loved that cartoon when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is interesting that amongst all that, that cartoon came about for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Even with everything that was going on. Yeah. But it's like, you know, so yeah, D&D definitely, you know, they got caught up in, you know, their own kind of cheating, so to speak, you know, in a sense of like, you know, it's like, oh, you know what, we'll have like all these different kind of demons and devils and stuff in it, and that lack of understanding, you know, of how this particular medium works and everything, you know, I think it's kind of one of those things where it was an unfortunate side effect of it, but yeah, that was, you know, I think if the first game that ever came out that really hit big was something more like Pendragon, and that's a game, a really old game that I've heard many, many, many good things about.
Yeah.
Where basically King Arthur's Court.
Yeah. Yeah.
That if that game,
I worked on 7C.
Yeah.
And John Wick talked about that game all the time.
Yeah. I just listened to an interview with him actually. Yeah. And he mentions that game repeatedly.
Yeah. Yeah, he loves that game. So
yeah. If that one came out and was the first big deal, I think things would be drastically different.
The Covenstead podcast was created and produced by Daniel Delisle and Todd Crapper. Theme music written and composed by John Thompson from the Rook and Rask channel on Twitch. Definitely check them out.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.